Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. All right, got something for you. You ready?
Nice kick, dude.
Okay. All right. Any more? You want me to give it to you again? All right.
Nice hold, dude.
Yes.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 13 minutes after 8 on this Monday morning. Great to have you with us. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program and also podcasts the program. So if there's anything you felt you might have missed between 6 and 7 already, chock full of content today. Just text Vince to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the link to the podcast page. That gets you everything that we've done. Missed something last week, or did somebody say to you, hey, did you hear those guys? They were talking about this. It's all up there on the podcast
page. It's all itemized.
Yes.
Really
easy. Or wherever you get your podcasts. Commonly referred to as early voting, in-person absentee balloting can begin in Wisconsin starting tomorrow. There are boutique rules, as we've detailed on the show, depending on how your local clerk's office does it. So if this is how you want to vote, you're going to want to check with your local clerk to see what times, what days, what locations are available. Every community is unique. Some will start right away on Tuesday. They'll have early voting during business hours. Others, like Milwaukee, Madison, larger communities, will have hours on Saturdays, on Sundays, in different places. You don't even necessarily have to go down to city, town, or village hall. So everything is left up to the local clerks. And this is the form of voting where you go in and you do it in person, but you fill out an absentee ballot. And as opposed to mailing it in or putting it in one of the drop boxes, if your community allows for that, you just hand it right over to the clerk's office.
They are your witness.
Yes. And then it does not get counted until election day, but they have that. And then on election day, that's when they begin processing those ballots. So that starts tomorrow. We'll get more into that and some of the rules about that on Tuesday. But much like an FM DJ back in the day, from time to time, Eric and I have been known to take requests on this year program.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Call the DJ back then. Can you play that song for me? We want the new song from Van Halen. Or whatever, right? What did every DJ, every single time you called, say?
Yeah, I'll try to get that on for you.
Exactly right. Yeah, we'll try to get that on for you, whether or not it was already in their prescribed playlist. Mm-hmm. I'll try to get that on for you. Well, we got a request on the WTMJ talk and text line the other morning.
We're up to our long-distance dedication. Okay, Ellie, here's your long-distance dedication. Roy, here's your long-distance dedication.
Okay, I can't.
Wow, that was the request.
There you go. All right. Point being, though, this is coming from a woman in Germantown who listens to the show.
Okay.
I will read you her request. Hi, Vince and Eric. Would you please cover the state referendum question on the upcoming election on your show? The referendum warning is a little confusing, as is true with most referendums. Maybe you covered this already and I missed it, but it wouldn't hurt to cover it again before the election. Thank you so much. That is from Marie in Germantown. Thanks, Marie. All right, Marie, here is your request. We again have another statewide referendum on the ballot. So this will be on everyone's ballot in the state of Wisconsin. And it is again an effort to amend our state constitution. Real quick review on why we're seeing these. And you don't often recall seeing them before. We are gridlocked right now. We have divided government in Wisconsin. State legislature, which writes and passes bills, is controlled by Republicans. The state house, the governor who signs the bills making them law, is a Democrat in Governor Tony Evers.
Jazz as hell.
All right, so the legislature is tired of passing bills and sending them to the governor, where he then vetoes them.
Jazz as hell.
And this has been going on for 6 years or so, right? So the legislature has found a workaround. Change the Constitution. It cuts the governor out of the process. It's hard to do, but this is why you're seeing more of this happen. With overwhelming control by the Republicans in both chambers, they don't seem to have a problem getting these things passed that then has to go to the voter. So to amend the state constitution, a change must pass with identical language in two consecutive terms of the legislature and then win majority approval by voters in that referendum. So in other words, this legislature is in session for 2 years. Sometime in that session, they pass, we want this constitutional amendment. The next installed, so you have to have another election in that 2 years, and that next installed legislature must pass the identical bill.
Same thing. Yep.
And then it gets to go to the voters, and here we are. This tactic worked in spring of this year already. Voters approved an amendment to restrict how municipalities can get funding for election-related equipment and practices. The tactic failed most recently this fall. Remember that one? Voters rejected a change that would have put the legislature, not the governor, in charge of distributing federal money that flows to the state. So it's kind of an end around on the governor and changing law through constitutional amendment. Let's get to what's going to be on your ballot, or for those folks who've already voted, you've seen it already. Here's the wording for the referendum question. Eligibility to vote. Shall Section 1 of Article 3 of the Constitution, which deals with suffrage, which is a fancy word for voting, be amended to provide that only a United States citizen age 18 or older who resides in an election district may vote in an election for national, state, or local office, or statewide or local referendum.
Are you? I don't even know what that means.
Thank you for that. All right, what does it mean? Right now, that section of our state constitution reads, every United States citizen age 18 or older who is a resident of an election district in this state is a qualified elector in that district. The referendum, the question before you, seeks to change essentially that one word. The word every would instead be only. So instead of every U.S. citizen gets to vote, it's only U.S. citizens get to vote. So there's a difference in the wording. In theory, as it stands now, would anything really change?
No.
Not so much, which is why some folks are kind of left confused about it. Wisconsin, as the Constitution states, does not allow non-citizens, even those who are here legally. So this isn't just an illegal immigration thing. You can be here legally on a green card or visa or what have you, but you still don't get to vote. I didn't say it prevents it from happening. It is illegal. So there's a difference. People violate the law all the time, and people can debate whether or not it's happening in any number. But nonetheless, it's not legal for non-citizens to vote. Why is this on there then? From an objective point of view, supporters of the change point out, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a piece on this as well, explaining there are some cities in the U.S., they list Maryland, California, they list Washington, D.C., where non-citizens are allowed to vote in local elections. They cite San Francisco, where parents and guardians who are not U.S. citizens can vote in school board elections, for example. So supporters of this constitutional change here in Wisconsin suggest this will clarify that that will not be allowed in Wisconsin. Municipalities couldn't pass their own boutique rules and allow that.
And as of now, we haven't seen that come up in Wisconsin, have we, where there's been a local municipality looking to do something like this?
I would say that's fair. I have not heard, even in Madison or Milwaukee, any push to have this. But supporters of why we need to have this referendum passed and change the Constitution suggest, well, if it's not specifically stated in that way, you could have that in Wisconsin. That's their argument. How does it break down politically? Conservatives are all in on yes. So if you're primarily concerned about politics and you're a conservative or Republican, your side is voting yes. Many suggest they are concerned about the non-citizens voting, which again is illegal but not necessarily preventable in every case. Thus, they are urging a yes vote for the clarification. If you're a liberal or a Democrat, I don't want to say it's necessarily as cut and dried as it is on the right. Some liberals are kind of quietly opposed because they don't want to say out loud, well, we think non-citizens should vote, but they also don't know how to answer then.
They don't trust it.
Yes, right, because of where it's coming from. They also don't support the divisive issue being put to referendum on the ballot. The left is kind of in a tougher spot on this one because, as we say, it doesn't seem to substantially change anything. So some are more vocal about it, and they're accusing Republicans of, one, using this as a wedge issue to drive turnout, to rile people up.
Which is not unprecedented.
Right. Or to sow suspicion about the validity of elections as they are. But they also claim it opens the door to other voter restrictions. This is from the League of Women Voters, who are campaigning openly against a yes vote on the referendum. They say top line reasons to vote no. Number one, this is an attack on our freedom to vote. It could open the door to discriminatory practices, disenfranchising hundreds of thousands of eligible voters. Two, the rigged state legislature isn't doing its job. And three, Wisconsin is stronger when we stand together. So they're against. Not all Republicans or conservatives are for necessarily. Not all liberals or Democrats are against. But that's how the public support or the protest thereof is breaking on the issue. Again, a yes vote means we would change the Constitution to say only U.S. citizens can vote in the elections. A no vote means the Constitution stays the same and says every U.S. citizen. So that's the issue, how it breaks down on the ballot. Have we made that relatively clear?
I think so.
I don't know what that means.
You still don't know what you're saying? All right, I'll spend another 15 minutes on it tomorrow. All right, Marie, there's your long-distance dedication.
Okay, Narlita, here's your long-distance dedication.
Baby, don't understand why we can't just hold on to each other's
hand. 8:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This morning, no parking, no riding at the Holt Avenue Park and Ride.
Today, we were turned around at the entrance by officers that were out front, and they told us to just kind of park somewhere else because no one's allowed inside unless they're going in to pick up some RVs or any other equipment that's still left over inside right now.
TMJ4 Sydney Orr on scene this morning reporting the lot just to the west of I-4394 in Milwaukee there on Holt Avenue, closed to traffic. So no bus pickup, no carpooling. You heard her reference RVs. This is the problem if you've driven by these lots, in particular over the last year and especially over the summer. These RVs, campers, tents, and folks have been living there, and authorities have had it. They report nearly 300 calls for service, for police service, over a three-month period over the summer. Assault, weapons, drugs, theft. And again, important to state, that's not everyone who's there. But it is there, and it's causing trouble. Some folks claiming they've formed a community, and they're not bothering anyone, but others apparently are bothering others, is so much as to necessitate a couple of calls a day for service at this lot. And then there are a couple there off of College Avenue. The one on the west side of the freeway seems to have the bigger encampment. East side of the freeway, fewer, but still some folks living there.
And believe it or not, it's going to get colder soon. And when it does start to get very cold, dangerously cold, that's another issue that the state would have to deal with.
And one of the reasons that they say they feel they're justified in trying to actually move folks out. This morning, authorities following through on this plan now to shut down the park and ride for everyone as of this morning.
There are two police vehicles at the entrance. We tried, along with a huge sign that just reiterates lot closed October 21st, which again is today.
It is today. So again, TMJ4 Sydney Orr at the Holt Avenue Park and Ride. A couple of questions this morning, though, is looking out to the future. They've said they're going to address the situation on College Avenue. We expect that to be late this week, early next. Maybe they want to make sure that see how this goes here, pool their resources and get that taken care of at Holt Avenue. Then they'll move on to College. It would be a partial closure for the lot that is on the east side of the freeway, west side of the freeway. They'd shut the whole thing down. The other question, and it's more immediate, Eric, is what if people won't leave? Am I the only one asking this question? Like, you tell me, am I overly concerned about this?
Well, I do think there's an assumption that people will refuse to leave, and we don't know that to be true.
Right, okay.
So are there going to be, not everyone who's staying there is trying to fight the man, so to speak. So if you have officers knocking on your door of your RV or of your vehicle,
right,
that might be enough to prompt you to move. We'll have to see.
It sounds like that's worked to a certain extent.
Right.
Sydney reporting there that it's a smaller group there now.
But you're
than
worried
was
about
a
the
week.
Optics. You're worried about what that'll look like if you see someone getting put in the back of a squad because
yeah.
they won't leave.
And if someone says, I'm not going, then what are they prepared to do?
The tents get pulled down a la what was happening on college campuses.
Yes. And so I worry about that for all involved. That's no good for the folks who are staying there. It's no good for law enforcement. They don't want to do that. And they don't want altercations or any incidents to crop up from that. But if there's someone who says, nope, I'm staying, are they prepared to then tow those vehicles or take down the tents or remove someone by force, which I don't think anybody wants? And so I'm curious to see how that plays out. Or will they just sort of soft pedal it again? Mm. Okay, we've seen this before where they say, we're gonna make people leave, and then they kind of don't. And then the problem hasn't gone away.
I wouldn't expect that this time. This one seems to be a little bit more serious than in months past.
First time they've actually shut the thing
yes.
down, right? So nobody's in or out in terms of the general public. The DOT said, again, they'll focus on the park and rides on the west side of College Avenue at the exit there. as well as the a partial closure, if you will, on the east side. And we expect that to happen perhaps late this week, early next, once they figure out things at Holt. But watch how that situation plays out today on the south side. 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
A barrage of Hezbollah rockets intercepted over northern Israel on Monday. You could hear the explosions there. Could be heard as plumes of smoke trailed over buildings. Of course, the air raid sirens ringing out as well there. Not unprecedented for Israel to be shot at with rocket fire. Obviously, they have the missile defense systems in place. Haven't heard of any significant damage, although there was some. Some of those targets were hit. Also, Israel firing back, too, as well. Meanwhile, this story breaking overnight, Vince. An investigation now underway into the purported leak of what appears to be U.S. intelligence on possible Israeli plans to retaliate against Iran.
The documents posted online appear to show classified U.S. intelligence gathering on Israel's preparations for a potential retaliatory strike against Iran, apparently detailing types and numbers of missiles that Israel may be readying.
Yeah, so ABC can't independently verify those documents yet, but U.S. officials are confirming a major investigation is now underway. Basically, those documents indicated that likely came from U.S. government agencies that looked into satellite imagery, and it would indicate what some of Israel's plans were for a potential retaliation strike.
The word they're using is leak.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's different than some other effort of espionage where someone found out and we didn't want them to. Somebody, they're suggesting that somebody with knowledge of these plans has actually offered up that information.
Right, right.
That's disturbing.
Meanwhile, also disturbing, it appears North Korean soldiers are now being sent to Russia.
South Korea's National Intelligence Service reported that in recent weeks, approximately 1,500 North Korean soldiers were transported to Russia, releasing satellite images they say show those North Korean troops at Russian military bases. And they're estimating in all up to 12,000 soldiers will be sent, though Russia denies this.
Yeah, 12,000 soldiers could be on their way or already in Russia from North Korea. Again, likely something that you would think the Pentagon was anticipating, given the fact that Putin and Kim Jong-un have had face-to-face conversations more than once.
They've been palling around of late.
Right. So is this just the next step in that war? The president of Ukraine had been worried about this.
President Zelensky warning of a new threat, saying Ukraine has clear evidence showing people are being supplied to Russia from North Korea, and that this means another country is joining the war.
ABC's Inez de la Cantera.
So the interesting part about that being, you know, is the war expanding. You have all these Western powers that are backing Ukraine in various forms, not necessarily boots on the ground, but in funding, in sending weapons. On the other side now, if you have others entering the conflict, like a North Korea, it's just another nation state in this proxy war between Russia and Ukraine.
Makes you wonder, how much can North Korea offer other than just hands?
Well, I said before, what does the North Korean military do? They're not actually in active conflict with anyone other than the South, and not really other than policing the border doing anything.
So in a war zone, what can they do?
I guess we'll find out. I mean, are you questioning how viable of a soldier
Correct.
Is that?
Not North suggesting Korean? That right. It's not significant. It is. But yeah, how viable would that become?
8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. The Black Crowes were in town this weekend, I thought. I thought they were going to be at the Riverside.
Oh, I thought it was the Miller High Life.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that might be. Either way.
What a fan you are. I never miss a concert.
State band had to be there. I can play you some of that later if we have time, but that was a mandatory miss for me.
All right, got something for you. You ready?
Nice kick, dude.
Okay. All right. Any more? You want me to give it to you again?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice hold, dude.
Yes.
How about that? Let me play you the winning kick. And listen closely to Jim Nantz, CBS Sports here.
He's got this to win it. Low snap. The kick. It is good.
Well, low snap indeed. I mean, the thing just dribbled back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so my player of the game for the Green Bay Packers is not the new kicker, Brandon McManus. It's not Jordan Love with his three touchdowns. He did have two picks. It's not even the Packers defense collectively or anything like that.
Which was pretty good.
It's the punter, who is also the holder on the kicks. Danny Whelan of Ireland.
He flipped the field multiple times on Sunday.
He averaged 56.8 yards per punt. And some of them were more than that. I mean, that's just the average. I mean, he had a 62-yarder at one point. It's absurd. Like, do you not remember when 42, 44 was like, wow, that's a nice boot, 45.
It's kind of like a drive in golf being like 400 yards.
Right, yeah, right. 250, you know, 350 is the new 250,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, this guy, you're absolutely right. Like, hundreds of yards of field position was changed because of our punter and just put that defense in a much better spot a number of times, especially given the fact that the Packers, do you count it as a turnover on special teams because we were receiving the punt? Is that officially a turnover?
I think so, right? I mean, right. A fumble's
like, 'cause it was supposed to be ours.
I mean, it wasn't really a fumble.
Right, so I wonder. Either way, we gave the Texans three more chances on offense than we ought to have, given that we turned the ball over.
So you mentioned Jordan Love and having the interceptions. I do feel like, and I'm not, are we the only ones who at times question Love's?
No,
it's,
we're not.
I don't know why. I feel bad doing that. But one of the questions that we posed, and this might make you feel a little bit better, we posed to Talisher last hour, and you can find it on the podcast page. One of the questions we posed to him was that first touchdown that he threw to Kraft, was that amazing or was it reckless? Because it was almost an interception. Like, he threw it and, like, it literally went through the hands of a Texan player. Here's what Tao said quickly on it.
Here's the deal, guys. Sports is pretty simple. And when it works, it's amazing. And when it's not, it's reckless.
Okay. Well, so it's outcome-based, according to Tausch. If but it actually, works, great.
I give him credit, and you can find it on the podcast page. It's worth a listen. Tausch went into great deal about why that play was not reckless, why it was amazing. How he changed the play at the line, how he told Kraft where to go, how he looked the safety off with his eyes, Love I'm talking about, and was able to move and open a window there to throw that ball, which was a dot. So you could argue both, but Tausch makes you feel better by saying, nope, that was definitely an amazing play, not a reckless play.
But you point out something that Packers fans, if you listen to the postgame show, I listened to quite a bit with Tausch yesterday, you know, talking about some of the decisions that Jordan Love has made and even some of the things that have turned out well. That long, I can't remember if it was a touchdown, but long pass to Christian Watson that was kind of a jump ball into triple coverage that Watson did come down with, but... Like, you're looking at it as soon as the ball goes up in the air. Like,
what are you doing?
No! It's kind of the same thing in basketball when a guy throws up a logo three and you see the coach like being like, no! All right.
Yeah! Yeah.
Good shot, man. Right. And to Tausch's point,
right.
When it drops, it's brilliant. If it doesn't, it's reckless. And so there's a little of that. Love talking in the postgame that he needs to get better with his decision making, and that's fair. But
not hating on the guy by any means.
Still great.
You notice that just a little bit here.
Still great, and we'll take it, right?
Yeah. Oh, you want it one more time?
Yeah,
do you have another one? You looked at me like you're ready for it. Oh, here we go.
5-2.
They don't challenge it in time. They go long. They go long. They get the completion near the 1 yard line. Touchdown. Dontavian Wicks.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
On Wisconsin's afternoon, sorry, morning news. I almost cost you half a day. Just thinking about the afternoon at University of Wisconsin Whitewater. Last time this thing turned out any other way, the kids who pulled it off this time weren't even alive.
Please congratulate your 2024 WSMA Class AA State Marching Band Champion, Green
Bay. I just love that moment. I don't care what you're talking about.
Green, right? What?
Green. That's us. It's us. We won. State band competition this weekend, University of Wisconsin Whitewater, 19 straight championships for Greendale High School.
Wow.
So a little bit self-serving and sharing this with you. I got a couple of band kids. Max does audio and like crew work for the band. And then my daughter, Olivia, is one of the dancers. So dancers are sort of a subset of color guard, if you will, in these big competitions. So everybody's school band is a little bit different.
Sure.
Some are just out there to march for the football games and do the parade and whatever else. There are also bands across the state that compete. And so they go to these judged competitions. And our band is one of them, so 19 straight.
How many bands are in the state competition?
Well, it's got to be 40 maybe overall, I bet.
I wouldn't guess that many. That's a lot.
Four different divisions, and you compete by size of school. So Greendale is the class AA champion, the quad A, which would be your like division one champions this year. Middleton edging out Oak Creek, who was looking to repeat as state champions. And then Franklin, I believe, in that biggest division finished in third. So a really super cool weekend. Love it, and we're off to Nationals for that, and that'll be later, I think early November, is that they play at Lucas Oil Stadium.
That's cool.
And there we will not have the same level of success as we enjoy in the state of Wisconsin.
Now, you don't know that. Who knows?
Well, I mean, it's a great show. It's the best one I've seen. They're scoring very high, but it's very tough. There you compete by size of band. So you might be going up, you know, our school's, what, 800-900 is Greendale. You're going up against schools that are 2,000 and 3,000.
Okay.
And so, like, their band is juniors and seniors, period. Like, some have a JV band.
Really?
Our band is, Eric, you want to play? I don't really play an instrument right now. We'll either teach you or we'll help you, but you can be in the band.
You know what the band director should do when you guys get inside the Colts stadium there? You should measure, like, to the 50-yard line and then measure the cross.
That.
You'll find that
this
the field,
football field 100 yards either
is
way.
The exact right? same as what we'll find at home, Greendale.
You were winning this weekend. Nice job.
Yeah, the Breakthrough T1D Walk on Saturday morning, a huge success at Greenfield Park. Had tons of people there. I want to say thank you so much to people who donated to the team. It meant a lot to me to see how much money we raised as a whole. It was $283,000 that they announced on Saturday, which is pretty incredible for type 1 diabetes research. And
it's
funding.
A good haul. Eric was walking around with a big sack of money that he took to the bank. Right? No.
And got to meet a lot of great people and a lot of great kids living with T1D. So a wonderful event and so thankful for all the help.
I'll leave you with the WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 79 degrees today, but I think if we work hard enough, we can reach 80. You think? Mostly sunny skies, partly cloudy overnight with a low down to 56, and then 72 the high on Tuesday. Drop down to 59 for your high on Thursday, but then back up to 65 for Friday. Maybe another good weekend still in store? Keep an eye on it. Right now, 57 in Milwaukee, and the WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is next.